Welcome to the Coffee and Questions podcast. I am your host, Michelle Berman-Michael, and my mission with this podcast is simple: to help realtors and loan officers across the world tap into the value Instagram can have for them and their business. To me, organic business that comes to us is the name of the game. On this show, you're going to hear from myself, other experts across social media, and also others that are just like you, selling real estate and doing loans and doing it at a high level on social media. For those of you guys who are watching this, this is really a unique opportunity that I have. If you're watching this and you don't know who the gentleman is on the screen, you probably live under a rock, but you should. But I decided to do this a little bit differently. So I originally planned on interviewing this gentleman for my podcast, which we are still doing. But I also thought, how cool would it be to go live in the Facebook group? Now, we haven't told you guys in the Facebook group that we were doing this. This was a very last minute decision. So 99% of you guys will probably watch this on the recording. But regardless, I'm very excited to have Phil live here for all of you guys watching this. Phil Treadwell is somebody that is very, very special to me. And I'm going to do the full intro here in just a second. But if you don't know my relationship with Phil was the very first podcast that I was ever on back in mid-2019. He was the first guy to ever give me a shot. And I think almost 5 years later, I think he feels good about giving me a shot. But in general, guys, this episode is very special to me because this is the second time he's coming on the podcast. The first time he came on my podcast, it has almost 5 times more downloads than any of the other episodes on the show. So kind of a special guest to bring back, but I'm going to go ahead and introduce this gentleman. This is Phil Treadwell. For those of you guys that don't know him, you really should, but he is an award-winning entrepreneur, national speaker, podcaster, 20 plus years as a top performer in the mortgage and real estate space. He's built teams throughout the entire country and in various markets. And he recently started a coaching academy, called M1, that is ranked in the top 10 of mortgage coaching and consulting programs. And M1 is really designed to help mortgage professionals execute and perform at the level that they are truly capable of. And Phil, I don't feel like you even need an introduction, but I hope that that was slightly good enough to introduce you. But welcome to the show.
Well, I appreciate you having me. It was more than good enough. Maybe we'll just record that and I'll use that for all my intros. That was good stuff. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm excited to have you. And I think this conversation is very timely. We recorded 2+ years ago, and even just before we hit live, we were talking about that, just how wild that concept is that it's been that long. But I feel like a lot has changed, right? So not just for you professionally, but also in the space that we use to build our businesses, in this case, Instagram. So will you just dive into where do you feel like you are right now as compared to where you might have been 2 years ago?
Wow. 2 years ago, it was completely different because we're talking early 2022, you know, after 17, 18 years in various levels of production or sales leadership. I was a national director for a company and I didn't want to be a talking head in the industry that was doing podcasting and speaking. And I wanted to make sure that what I was coaching, what I was teaching, what I was talking about was still relevant to the industry. So I went back and started a production team and I hadn't originated in about 10 years. I had been helping people build their business. I'd been recruiting and hiring and planning branches, but I wanted to make sure that not only was it relevant, but it was executable in the type of market that we were in. So like I said, I hadn't originated in 10 years. I'd never originated in the state of Texas and rates were going up 0.5% a month at the time. So people in the mortgage and real estate industry thought Armageddon was happening and we had a lot of success and went from zero to about a $3 million a month run rate in about 6 months, closed 25, 30 million in production that year, the team that I'd put together. But what I realized was that that wasn't fulfilling for me. That wasn't what I wanted to do. And so towards the end of that year, I think the industry had lost 60% of the production that they were used to. And people were saying, what are you doing? Open up your playbook. Tell us what's going on. So I started a series of workshops and was really putting this tactical playbook together about how mortgage and real estate professionals could tactically execute on things like Instagram, on things like social media, how to create the type of relationships that are going to add value so that in turn, they could find the opportunities that are in the market. Because make no mistake, there are opportunities in every single market. You just have to find them. Those series of workshops, people were getting some results, but not at the level that I felt like they should. And so people were asking for coaching. And what I realized is I underestimated the importance of the mindset piece of it. So through the business coach that I had at the time, I created M1 Academy. M1 stands for mindset first. Mindset is the most important thing in your business. It's not the only thing, but it is the most important thing because our mindset controls our attitude and our actions. And those are the only two things that we can actually control. We can't control our partners. We can't control our clients. We can't control the market. What we can control is what we do and how we respond to things. So that's really the pillar and foundation. Now, most of what we talk about is still very tactical, but only on that foundation of understanding what's your why, what's your unique value offer? How does that turn into your messaging and your marketing? How do we create that North Star and reverse engineer that into milestones, into goals, into daily habits? And so M1 Academy essentially started, not quite a year and a half ago. We are still doing a lot of the same things that we were doing in production or that I did as in sales leadership, just applying them in a different way so that people can go out and build their business at the level they're capable of.
Yeah. And I think that there's one thing I can speak to about you is I remember the very first email you sent me after we got off our podcast episode. I still have it saved in my inbox. It's starred, it's there, it's never going away. And it's one of those emails that I go back to when I'm having a bad day or when you're having one of those like, hey, things have been a little bit challenging over the last few months. And that's really who you are, not just to me, but to your coaching clients and to people who just listen to you talk, right? Like you can't walk away from a conversation with you and not feel better. You might feel a little bit overwhelmed in the sense of there's so many things that I need to be doing, but you have a way of making people just understand what really matters and what ultimately is going to make a difference. And it can be micro. And I think that that's one of the things that I have learned so much over the last 2 years is it's not these big dramatic changes that need to be made. It's little daily actions or little daily habits that need to be different in order to see a different result, right? What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And so I think the last 2 years watching you go from who I knew you as, right? Mortgage marketing expert being that in my head to now I'm going to go originate. And now I'm going to prove to everybody that I am in a brand new market. I'm going to stop just podcasting and prove that I can actually do this whole thing in the mortgage space. And now transition into where I really feel like you should have been all along in one sense. Obviously God's timing, like he brought you there when it was time to do it. But what I think is fun to watch is the mindset piece. Like I think very easily you could have kind of thought, or somebody on the outside, maybe looking in could have thought, wow, like does Phil even know what he wants to do? Like he's kind of like, you know, but it's been so amazing to watch from my side. And now knowing that a few weeks from now, we're going to get to be on virtual stage together. I think it's a really fun full circle thing, but the last 2 years, what do you feel like has been the biggest micro adjustments when it comes to how you talk to people about what you do, if there is one?
Yeah, I think there's lots of things. And it goes back to kind of what I alluded to earlier. In everything we do tactically, we have to approach it from the right mindset. You know, if you think about whenever someone is pitching you a product or a service or trying to get you into network marketing or whatever, when someone's kind of pitching you something, you might look at it and be like, hey, like I understand the numbers, it sounds good, but I don't know, let me think about it. Versus there's instances where you're like, I don't know what you were talking about, but I'm in, let's go. That's a mindset thing. Ed Milet says, we need to stop getting people to believe what we're saying and start getting them to believe we believe what we're saying. And so to execute tactically, you have to come from the right foundation. You've got to come from the right headspace, the right mindset. And so that's really the approach, even from the messaging, from the content, is not just giving people what to do. If I give a list of seven things, here's your seven steps to success, they're going to look at those things and say, okay, I'm going to go do those. But the problem is they may or may not be organic to that person. That may not tie into their strengths, to their talents, to their abilities. And the challenging part in the longevity of trying to help someone is understanding that if it's not sustainable, it's not going to create any type of a lasting change. So if I give them the five or six or seven things that I did, and it's not sustainable to them, if those don't work, they're not going to be like, okay, I should have applied those to me, or I should have adjusted those some. They're like, well, those things don't work. Let me go find five more things that do work. And that's what most of the people in mortgage and real estate are doing, is they're trying to take tactical things that worked perfectly for someone else and saying those things don't work because those things didn't work for me. Yeah. Instead of understanding, had I changed my philosophy around it? Had I changed the way that I approached it? What was my mindset going in? And so the biggest adjustment, even in communication with people, is trying to create a system that they can make theirs, giving people examples of stuff and then letting them figure out what's the strategy so that I can do this thing. How do I apply that to me? As opposed to saying, okay, I saw this person on social media, I saw this person on stage, and they said, these are the three things you need to do every day. Now, sometimes that may actually be the case, as opposed to trying to figure out, okay, why did those three things make that person successful? And then how do I take that concept and apply that to myself, apply that to my own business? And realistically, it's all about creating little wins. Within M1 Academy, the reason that daily habits, that daily disciplines, that non-negotiables are the foundation is because if you stack wins, if you wake up a little bit earlier, if you go to the gym, if you listen to a podcast, if you say some affirmations, if you, you know, drink a protein shake instead of, you know, eating a donut, all of those are little wins. Now, they're easy wins, but our mind only distinguishes between wins and losses, but not how big they are. So it's like, okay, well, I'm now stacking these wins. So if you go into your first call, first appointment, and you absolutely bomb it, our mind's like, okay, well, I bombed that phone call, but I made my bed. That was a win. Now you have momentum. So stacking those little wins creates momentum. And the important part is momentum creates motivation. So like if you're walking through your garage on a weekend and you're like, oh, I need to adjust the shelf. 3 hours later, all of a sudden you've cleaned the whole garage. Or I like to use the example, I love queso. So you heat up a little bowl of queso in the microwave, right? And then it boils over. You're like, damn it. Now I've got to like clean that little plate off in the middle. Well, now while I'm in here, I'm going to clean out the inside of the microwave. And now I'm wiping down the counters around it. Next thing I know, you've cleaned the whole kitchen. You're looking at touching up the paint on the walls, right? Those little wins, that momentum creates more motivation. And the most important part is that also creates confidence. See, confidence is not a personality trait. Confidence is a skill that we learn. And we learn it by realizing that those little habits, those little disciplines, those small wins actually move the needle more than the little losses do, or the big losses for that matter. And that creates confidence. So when you see people that seem like they have it all together, that they've got this swagger, oh my gosh, like they just ooze confidence. That's because they've screwed up way more than anybody else. But they have those little disciplines on a daily basis that they stick to, whether it's a routine, whether it's three tactical things that they know is going to help in their business. And that creates confidence because regardless of what's going on around them, they know they're going in the right direction.
I think I just have to pause you for a moment because I'm like, holy, we could just end right now because there's like 17 one-liners that I just want to pull out of the last 3 minutes of what you just said. But confidence is not a personality trait, I think is the biggest one that stands out. And I think both you and I, right? People say that all the time. Well, you guys are just so confident. How are you just so confident? And then you then continued in saying that the person that is most likely the most confident is also probably one of the people that has screwed up the most. And I mean, Phil, how many times have I screwed up in the last 5 years? If you know what I mean,
plenty,
right? More than I would like to admit, but I think the beautiful side of it is the personality trait aspect. If you take that out and say confidence isn't a personality trait, it's a learned skill, right? How do we gain confidence? For me personally, it's like, okay, I can look at one client that had a win and it sort of negates the two or three that didn't have a win. And then I'll ask myself, well, why did they not have a win? And then I'll look and dissect it and understand that it wasn't about me. It was about them, or it was about something that they didn't do that they needed to do. And I can take ownership of that and say, I know that the process is there. They just chose not to do it. But how did I fail them? Right. And then I then get better at, maybe I need to meet with them more. Maybe I need to have two or three meetings in the first month instead of one. Right. And start to have micro adjustments in myself instead of taking it as I got a shitty email from a client who said something negative, to how can I stack, as you mentioned, the wins of the ones that are crushing it, and then make micro adjustments with the ones that aren't. And even just in my own head, listening to you say that, it's like, look at, like, if you look at the last several years, it's been a combination of little wins over and over and over again. And I love the saying that tiny hinges swing big doors. And a mutual friend of ours, he says that to me all the time. And he'll say, Michelle, if you do the same thing that you're doing right now, you stack every little thing that we're talking about over the course of 365 days, a year from now, you won't even recognize who you are. And I think that that's what you're describing, honestly.
100%. And I think the other part of it is people quit too quickly, right? You've heard me say it so often. It's probably the thing that I say the most is success is about consistent and persistent effort over time. Now, success doesn't, that's subjective, right? Success can just mean achieving a small goal, right? Achieving an endpoint, achieving an outcome. So success, whatever we're trying to achieve, is from consistent. We all know what consistent is, doing it regularly, doing it over and over, and persistent, right? Persistent means staying consistent, whether you get results or not. See, that's the challenge. We stay consistent and then get some results and stop, or we don't get the results we want and stop. So you have to have consistent and persistent effort, action over time. Most people don't give it enough time. They don't get the results they want. They stop being consistent and then say that thing didn't work. And that's just not the case. So just like you said, if you continue to do something over and over, unless you've got good reason to think it's the wrong thing, you just have to keep going. Mm-hmm. Most people are like, oh, it's hard. It's supposed to be hard. Nothing worth anything in life is going to be easy. You've got to continue to do those things.
Yeah. And consistency, I think, is the Baltimore word of the mortgage and real estate industry right now, just in general, at least from my perspective. And I say that I say that lovingly, but it's really not a loving statement. It's more of like a, hey, if consistency is your goal, then honestly, I would tell you to just take it out of your vocabulary right now. Because if in your mind, right, you're going into another year, I want to be consistent this year. Okay, well, that's the same goal that you've had every other year, right? And you're obviously not doing it, or else that still wouldn't be the word that you're choosing again. So what do we change? How do we adjust that? And I think that that's something that's interesting as it relates to if I can transition us just briefly, because I know you've done this beautifully over the years. And honestly, I learned a lot from you in this conversation, or this part of the conversation, but outbound prospecting, right, is my secret sauce. It's my specialty on the Instagram platform. The psychology aspect of how do we produce content, and then how do we leverage connection, or sort of the 6 degrees of separation theory, if everybody who's familiar with the concept, right? How do we leverage that with the content that we're producing? And then how do we become real human beings in the process? But what I learned a lot from you is this aspect of, okay, I may not get a lot of engagement on a video, right? I may not get a lot of likes on something. And that used to bother me, right? 5 years ago, I would say that used to bother me. And then I started showing up more and more consistently. And I still don't get as many quote views or likes and comments as other people do in the same industry. And I honestly love it, right? Because now I make the comment, and I've made this comment 100 times in the last year, how much is in my bank account is what I ultimately care about and why I go to bed at night knowing that I'm doing a good job. But what would you say to that person who's looking at Instagram and they're like, I've been doing Instagram for 2 years, not really sure if this is the platform I'm going to stay consistent on moving forward.
Yeah. So when it comes to a specific platform, specifically Instagram, there's kind of a three-step marketing formula that I take people through. The first is you've got to know who your audience is, who is your target market? Who is it that you're trying to reach? Like, that's pretty basic, but we've got to be very, very specific about who that is. If you're a real estate agent, if you're a loan officer, a broker, whatever, that's the first thing you need to decide. A lot of people are like, okay, it's first time home buyers. Okay, great. Is that older millennials and younger Gen Xers, or is that younger millennials and older Gen Z? Because those are two different places in life when you talk about first time home buyers. Right now, the average age of first time home buyers is 36 years old. Well, if millennials are between, 26 and 41, give or take, then you essentially have that older demographic. And so you have to look at what social media platforms are they on. The reason I'm a big fan of Instagram is because you do have both the older and younger demographics that are on Instagram, where if you're Gen Xers or older, you need to be on Facebook as well. Where if you're on the younger side, then you need TikTok, you need Snapchat, you need other things. So the thing about Instagram that I think is important that people need to understand is that's where the masses are going to be. But when someone says, hey, I've been consistent for 2 years, I don't know if this is the platform for me. My first question is going to be, what are you doing on Instagram? Because there's so many things you can do. I think the one of the stats I heard recently is over 50% of the content that's consumed on Instagram is consumed through stories. And I'm kind of shocked at the number of people that either don't know how to do stories or aren't doing stories, or they're not doing it right. And you have to even understand some of the nuances of there. Are you just putting things on there to promote something and you're trying to get them to click a link to send them somewhere? Because again, think about what's the purpose of Instagram. How do they make money? They make money by showing ads to people. Okay, how do they show more ads to people? They keep them on the platform longer. So if you keep people on the platform longer, they're going to reward you with more eyes, more engagement. Where if you're having them click a link to take them off of Instagram, it's not that they're going to penalize you for it, but they're not going to give you as much reach on it. Okay, are you doing short form content? Are you doing long form written posts with a good picture? Like again, the three-step marketing formula. The first, who's your audience? Second, what problem do you solve for them? People pay for solutions to their problems. They pay with their time, they pay with their money, they pay with their attention. So what problem can you solve for them? And then third, what's the most effective platform or medium to provide that value to that audience? So if you're doing a ton of short form content, but that's not the type of content that your audience is consuming, well, then you're probably doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. Or maybe your content sucks, or maybe you're in a crowded space. Or to your point, maybe you're only getting 100 views on your videos. Okay, great. You have 100 people. Like when I started, again, I'm going to date myself a little bit. There wasn't social media. I got leads by walking around with black and white photocopied flyers to real estate offices, trying to get them to send me business. To get 100 people to talk to was a miracle, right? You'd go to, you know, networking meetings at Panera Bread for the Chamber of Commerce or Board of Realtors. You'd get 10 business cards and 9 of them gave you their business card to get yours to sell you something you didn't want. Right. So we've got to like reframe in our mind. Oh, I didn't get 5,000, 10,000 views on my video. So what? You had 100 people that saw your face and heard you for at least a few seconds. Mm-hmm. So Instagram is going to be one of the most powerful places that you're going to be able to create a brand and reputation for yourself. But you've got to ask yourself, am I doing the thing that's going to get the attention of the people I'm trying to reach? The other part of it that I know that you have an opinion on as well, so please give some color and narrative. People don't care what you do. They care who you are.
Yeah.
So I'm so tired of seeing all business content, all, you know, I'll pick on realtors here for just a second. Hey, here's my house that's getting ready to get listed. Here's my house under contract. Here's my house just sold. You know, here's the one that we're, you know, okay, great. Here's everyone at the title company holding a key that we just sold it to. Okay, that doesn't tell them anything. There's a place for reputation management, but that can't be the totality of your content. Now, loan officers, same thing. Here's what I like about working with first-time homebuyers. Here's, you know, the new loan program. Here's the loan limits. No one cares, right? If you're sitting in a doctor's office waiting room, you've been sitting there for 15 minutes because you had to come early to fill out the crap that's never changed on the forms, and the time comes and they still haven't called you back and you're waiting there 15 more minutes. You pick up your phone. No one's opening up their phone, open going to Instagram saying like, man, I hope a loan officer gives me the definition of amortization. No, that's not what they want. What they want is something entertaining, something informative. And they'll, again, if you solve their problem of taking them out of that environment that they don't want to be in, they will give you their attention. They will give you their time. So start sharing who you are. Start talking about your life. Start documenting your life. Start sharing those things. Because those things that we think people don't care about at all are ironically the biggest opportunities we have to make a connection with someone. We are naturally drawn to people that are like us. Well, if they don't know what you're like, if they don't know anything about you, they're not going to consume your content. And if they don't consume your content, they don't care about how good of a mortgage or real estate professional you are.
No, and this couples with, thank you for saying all of that, because this perfectly explains why my methodology is very in line with that. And I'm being careful about how I say this, because I have two avenues that I want to go down, or two sides to this conversation. But number one, our personal content is so, so valuable, because if we are outbound prospecting, which those of you guys in here who have heard me talk know that that is what I teach, right? Yes, I can teach you what to produce, what type of content to develop, and that's another conversation. But what you are doing in the DMs, right? Like the conversations you are having in your DMs about things about your personal life or about someone else's personal life. Great example, right? If I go to your Instagram, Phil, and I see a picture of you and you're out, and I'm just making this up, but let's say you go bowling, right? You're out bowling with your buddies on a guy's night. And I see that and I'm like, I haven't been bowling in a long time, but I love bowling. My husband and I went on date night about 2 months ago. We went bowling. And then, oh, by the way, my parents are also semi-professional bowlers. So my brain is doing all of this, right? And then I send you a DM and I'm having this conversation with you about bowling. Now, if you click on my account and you go back to my profile and you don't see anything other than business, like all this business stuff, and you now don't have anything to relate to me about, whether that's bowling necessarily or not, that connection that I am trying to forge with you because you fit that ideal client category for me is gone.
That's exactly right.
When I talk to people about this, I say the conversations that you're going to be having in your DMs are ideally with people that fit that ideal category for you, the ideal client, target market, all of the things, right? If you're a loan officer, for example, one of the days is you might be talking to every one of the listing agents on the listing side of your transactions out of your database. You'll pull that list out and now you're actively outbound prospecting them through the Instagram platform. And when I say that, I mean, you're literally looking them up, liking a piece of content, responding to a story, but are you talking about business in those initial interactions? You better not be, right? You better be talking about them. But now here's where your point and mine to close that loop comes in. If I'm talking to you, Phil, let's pretend you're the realtor that, and I'm the loan officer trying to earn your business or at least earn your eyeballs first. I'm talking to you about bowling. You go to my account. You realize I'm actually a cool person that does normal life things. Now the loop is closed. So now I've earned the right to continue the conversation with you. And then the business content that we share adds credibility to who we are. So that realtor might say, I just really like Phil, but maybe I wasn't super interested in a new loan officer, but I really like Phil. So I'm at least willing to give him the opportunity. And guys, that's sales psychology, like 101. I can't make it any simpler. And then the second piece is the video content. And I know I'm going on a tangent, but I have a point. The second part of this is the video content that we're producing. And you mentioned this, Phil, maybe you didn't even realize it, but it triggered something in my brain of, people are tired of the same content over and over and over again, the same overproduced video content with all this crazy B-roll of people that are not even them in offices that are not theirs in areas that they don't live, right? Hello, Google stock images. Like, please stop doing that. but a video recorded without all of those frills, in my opinion, is very genuine. It's very authentic. It's like, I really want to listen to you, even if it's about amortization. I can never say that word well, but that's the point, right? Is our audiences are tired of this overproduced content. So if we can give them a change and we can present it differently, and then we can talk differently in our DMs, not only are they receiving a message from someone where they're like, wow, I can't believe Phil just took the time out of his day to send me that message. And now that person is more likely to go back to you, Phil, and actually watch your content. And that's where the magic can really happen, I feel.
I 100% agree. I want to touch on something you were talking about with the outbound lead generation that I can't not say. And some people that are watching or listening are not going to like the first part of this, but we're just going to say it. Social media is not to create leads. That's not what it's for. It can, and it will, but there's two main reasons in terms of business that social media is for. First of all, social media is about being social, but as marketers, we like to screw up a really good and pure thing, right? So the two reasons to be on social media, first is social proof. If 10 years ago, if Michelle was a loan officer, realtor, I'm like, you need to use Michelle. Michelle's going to create a strategy. She's going to walk you through. If she says she can get it done, she will. You need to use Michelle. She's a rock star. 10 years ago, they just went to use Michelle. What do they do now? when I say the same thing. They go look up Michelle. They either Google her or look her up on social media. When you Google them, that's the first 5 or 10 things you're going to see is social media anyway. It's around social proof. And then they come back and like, wait a minute, I thought you said Michelle was awesome. I can't even find anything on here, or they haven't posted in like 6 months. So the first reason is for social proof. The second reason is to engage in other people's content. Just as you said, if you have a group of people, you've identified that marketing formula. Here's my target market. Here's the audience I'm going after. Here's the group of people that I want to work with. You go look them up. As you said, like a post, comment on a post in a non-salesy, non-spammy way, or reply to a story that goes in the DMs. You now start a conversation. Back in the day, we used to talk about A-list, B-list, C-list. A-list being friends and family, people that you're really close to. They could walk into your house and say hello and you wouldn't think anything of it. Then you have your B-list. Maybe you've done some business with them. Maybe you know who they are. They're acquaintances. And you have C-list, perfect strangers, people that you don't know or don't know you. The entire game was taking C-list to B-list and B-list to A-list. Well, the easiest way to do that's on social media. If someone does not know who you are and you comment on their post, what are they going to do? They're going to go look at your profile. Well, Phil, how do you know that? Because what do you do when someone comments on your post and you don't know who they are? You go look at their freaking profile. Now, okay, yep, they have some recognition there. You had some engagement. So you need to be engaging in other people's content. That's the most effective way to do some outbound lead gen. After you've had some rapport, you've engaged in each other's social, when you send them a DM or send them a text message and say, hey, that was so cool, you went to the lake and showed your kids how to ride a wave runner. I did the same thing, you know, the summer before. Hey, I realize we have a lot in common. Love to grab a cup of coffee, see if our goals align. Maybe we can do some business together. Just love to hear more about you. They're much more open to having that conversation, to your point, than they would have like, who is this random person that's just reaching out cold?
Saying, then, hey, can we go get coffee? And you're like,
100%. Because right now, first of all, loan officers, hear me. Realtors can smell the desperation on you. They can smell it because everyone's saying, let me take you to coffee. Let me take you to lunch. Let me take you to golf. Let me show you how good our service is. It's a bunch of BS. Like they're not going to do that. You've got to find a different way, which is a good segue into the thing that you said a second ago. Where are people not at? If everyone's doing really overproduced emoji, zoom in, zoom out, you know, B-roll stock image, short form video, go do a walk and talk. Go sit in front of your camera. And I'll say this too, because we used to do this as a drinking game. It didn't last very long. Stop starting your videos with, hey, everybody. And stop starting your videos with, hey, this is Phil Trud with M1 Academy. This is going to be some shocking news for folks. It says your name when you post. Right there at the top. So people either know who you are. If they don't know who you are, they don't care until you give them something of value. Say something that they give a care about before you do that. Start. Just start talking. Have a good hook. But to your point, do something different. There's a couple of people out there, and the name's escaping me. Rene Rodriguez is one of my closest friends. There's a guy that he turned me on to. He's this attorney, like gives all this advice. He has a couple of million followers, gets tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of views on Instagram, and he sits in his car and just talks. Guys, we're overthinking this whole thing. And I say all the time, and I want to make sure and say it here, you can't get better at something you're not doing. Stop trying to make it perfect. Stop trying to overproduce it. Stop trying to say, I can't do video on social media. I can't do content on social media because I don't have an editing team, or I can't pay for it, or I don't know how. I'm pretty sure, again, I use an iPhone. So for Android users, I apologize. When you're on your lock screen, if you swipe it to the left, your camera's open. Click video and start recording and then post it, especially if you've never recorded before or haven't posted very much. Because when you do, that's different and people will pay attention. That's this whole game, is it's attention. Marketing is about getting someone's attention. Sales comes later when you make them a customer. Okay. Marketing is about getting someone's attention. That's it.
Yeah. And I want to push back on you and continue this part of the conversation, one sliver of it, because the way you described the, hey, you did this now, and I forget exactly what you were referring to, the personal piece, but then you said, oh, and that reminds me, we did that last year, like whatever that was, right? Here's an example of how I would take that one step further. And for you guys listening to this and or watching this on the recording, wherever you're watching it or get it later on, take a second and write this down just for a moment, right? Because what Phil just described is the perfect segue to properly outbound prospecting in Instagram in a way that is unique and different that will capture attention. So be with me for a moment, right? Let's say I am the loan officer trying to earn Phil Treadwell's business as the real estate agent. So I'm Michelle, I'm the loan officer. Phil is this high producing realtor who I'm like, dang, I want his business. We're in the same market. We have kids the same age. We have all these things in common. So, and also he happened to be the listing agent on the listing side of one of the recent transactions that I've done, right? Where I've served obviously as a loan officer on the buy side. So Phil posts in his stories that he went and bought a bunch of Girl Scout cookies at Walmart from the girls out in front, right? We've all done that recently. Because
I think I've got a box laying around here, actually.
I was going to say, because it's Girl Scout cookie season, okay? So I saw that Phil posted in his stories a whole bunch of Girl Scout cookies that he's ordered, and he just took a picture of it. I'm going to respond to the story, and the way I'm going to respond is in two parts, right? I'm going to initially acknowledge what Phil's talking about, right? If I completely ignore the fact that he just talked or posted about Girl Scout cookies, I'm an idiot if I do that, right? Like I have to acknowledge the Girl Scout cookies. Then I have to tie in the subliminal business play aspect of this in the sense where I'm not selling Phil anything. I'm not saying I'm trying to earn his business. I'm simply just talking about my life in the business, right? So it might sound something like, Phil, I can't believe you bought as many Girl Scout cookies as you did. I'm guilty. My husband and I just bought 10 boxes. The girls are so cute. I can't believe like anybody wouldn't! ! Now I go into some my subliminal business play. Personally, I bought a handful of boxes for client gifts because I have a bunch of closings next week and better them than me, period. Now I'm going to go into the question that I'm going to end my initial contact with you with, right? It might be, did you buy all of them for you? Are they gifts for somebody? What's your favorite, right? Who, what, why, how, all of the different avenues that you can go down. But here's where the secret sauce really comes in, guys, because if somebody responds to that, which most likely they will, right? Our math internally, we tracked this over the course of 2023. We sent over 98,000 messages on behalf of our clients in the year of 2023. We had a 56% reply rate by doing it in this structure, right? So it's not just a, hey, great, these look good. This reminds me I need to go buy some. It's intentional, thorough, thought out replies to people's content, right? 56% response rate. Now, when someone responds, this is what I would tell you to do. Voice note, right? Pick up your phone. I don't care if you're on the treadmill. I don't care if you're waiting in the doctor's office. I don't care what you're doing, but that person responds. Now you voice note back, right? Acknowledge what the person said in reply in your voice note and continue the conversation. Voice notes are so powerful because what happens is I get to hear your voice. I get to hear that you're being genuine in how you're responding. And I know that you are taking the time out of your day to intentionally show up for me, right? So if I'm the loan officer trying to earn you your business, Phil, you and I are having this conversation about Girl Scout cookies. I've dropped subliminal business plays, but I haven't sold you anything and I'm not trying to yet, right? I'm just building a relationship with you. And then I voice note you and I say something along the lines of, oh, and by the way, I think we were connected by X person because I was the loan officer on X transaction. And I believe you were the listing agent. All of a sudden we're having a different conversation and we've earned the right to take it off that platform.
That's right. You're exactly right. People don't care about the things we think people care about. And if we'll start being more human and having conversation, to your point, social media is the easiest opportunity to create connection with people, to find people that we want to know, that we want to like, that we create some inherent trust with. But then to your point, you have to take it offline. You've got to build relationships. Business has been done, is being done, and will always be done based on relationships. But they don't start the same way that they used to. It's not nose to nose, belly to belly, you know, whatever the old adage was. I hated that stuff, but I did a lot of face-to-face cold calling because that was what was relevant at the time. This is what's relevant at the time, whether people want to hear it or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And I honestly feel like we could talk forever about this and we have offline and we will continue to do more so in this form online together. And I know you and I will get together, we'll get to be together here in just a week or so, a little over a week, for a fun virtual webinar that we're doing together. But I do want to be a good steward of your time. That's it. That's a phrase I've learned from you over the years, Bill. But and wrap this up in the sense of, how can I get to you if I'm listening to this and I'm like, I need more Phil in my life? And then also, will you tell us a little bit more about what you have coming up, just so if somebody wants to get dialed in, they can.
100%. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm pretty easy to find, philtreadwell.com, at Phil Treadwell on the socials. And if somebody wants some free resources, our M1 Academy member portal is just m1academy.app/free. And you can create a free member profile. You'll get 4 or 5 free resources, get to learn about what we're doing with M1 Academy. If you scroll to the bottom, you can join our text community. I send out 2 or 3 texts a week, tactics, mindset tips, things like that. What I have coming up, we're finishing up a workshop right now for mortgage and real estate professionals called the Extreme Efficiency Workshop. We do this a couple of times a year. Again, we have a group and a one-on-one coaching program if people are interested in learning more about what that is. But other than that, speaking at a lot of events and conferences and just trying to go out and continue to move the industry forward to a more modern and relevant place.
Absolutely. I'm with you and I'm excited to be a part of it. Thank you for just being here with me, Phil. I know my audience loves you, as do I. So until next time, for all of you guys who are watching this again, comment below, let Phil know what you loved about the episode. We will post this in the Facebook, so it will stay here forever. For those of you guys who want to catch it on the recording, please still comment. And then this full video will also be up on YouTube for you guys to watch later on as well. But Phil, thank you again. We really appreciate you.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please go follow my guests on social media. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving us a review wherever you consume this content.